This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Maggie Kurth Baker is a respected science journalist, author, and blogger for Boing Boing. Normally, she writes about the convergence of science, technology, and culture. A recent post was so personal and so out of the norm that we asked her to talk with us about it. Maggie blogged about suffering a miscarriage and undergoing the medical procedure known as a D&C, which, as she explains, is technically an abortion. Though a procedure that's pretty much outside the political and legal morass surrounding abortion laws in Minnesota, where she lives. Maggie, I want to thank you for joining us and first of all say how sorry I am for what you went through.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to come on and talk about it.
Well, tell us about what happened to you.
Well, we had a miscarriage last year in June, and we've been trying for a year to get pregnant and got pregnant again this May. And everything seemed to be going pretty much okay. We had a heartbeat at about 6 weeks and then went back in, and the heartbeat hadn't set up like it was supposed to. And the egg yolk had actually become larger than the fetus, which is a sign of genetic problems going on. And our doctor told us that it probably wasn't going to survive, that it was probably incompatible with life, and that we needed to decide whether or not we're going to have a D&C or whether we would just wait and let the miscarriage happen on its own.
What did you decide to do?
I ended up deciding to wait one more week. I wasn't quite ready to give up on the pregnancy quite yet. And a week later, we went back in for another ultrasound. And by that point, the heartbeat was completely gone, and I had a D&C that day.
I'm so sorry. And you did write about this publicly after learning that the fetus probably wasn't going to survive, but before your final decision to have the D&C. I'm wondering why you decided to share the experience at that very moment.
Partly it was, partly it was very much a selfish thing. I needed to write about it. It was something that I needed to process. I was having a really hard time thinking about what I needed to understand or even just putting things into words, and that writing it out helped a lot. But then the other thing was, when I'd had my earlier miscarriage, it had occurred to me just how secret this whole thing is. No one really talks about what happens when pregnancies go wrong. And I wanted to kind of take this platform that I had and use it as an example and a place where I could actually talk about this and tell this story that happens to millions of women, and that has always just been this kind of secret, shameful thing.
In fact, you describe miscarriage as, I'm paraphrasing here, as the lousiest secret society. How did people respond to you calling it that?
People responded really well, actually. Everybody that I've heard from that had had a miscarriage also thought that that was a perfect way to describe it. When I actually started finding out more about the science of miscarriage, what I learned was that, we don't know exactly how many miscarriages happen every year, mainly because a lot of women are pregnant and don't even realize that they're pregnant when they have a miscarriage. They just think it's a late period. But somewhere around 50% of all conceptions will end in miscarriage. And even after you've gotten a positive pregnancy test, somewhere between 30 to 50% of those pregnancies end in miscarriage. It's an incredibly common thing. I know, like, after my first one happened, I found out all these other women who had never talked to me about this before. You know, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, my friends started coming out and telling me about it.
Yeah, I was shocked at how high the number is. And we are talking with science writer and Boing Boing blogger Maggie Kurth Baker. She made a decision to blog about her miscarriage and the painful decision afterwards to have a D&C. This is a procedural term for a medically necessary abortion. But talk about that distinction that you make between your D&C and what other women experience when they are seeking to terminate a pregnancy in your state, for example.
Well, the D&C is actually not specifically a miscarriage thing. It's just the medical term for the procedure of dilating the cervix and curettage, so kind of either scraping out or suctioning out whatever's in your uterus. And that can be a what's called an elective abortion that can happen during a miscarriage, an unelective abortion, but it's the same procedure either way.
Now,
go ahead.
Continue, actually.
In my state, if I had not been classified as an unelective abortion, I would have had to go through quite a bit of rigmarole to actually get the procedure that I needed. I would have had to have a waiting period. I would have had to go through listening to someone tell me a lot of medical facts, some of which are very spurious and aren't actually lining up with what we know about the side effects of abortions. And I would have also had to look at a ultrasound of my fetus and see pictures of healthy fetuses. This is all stuff that women have to go through if they choose to have what we call an elective abortion.
Now, you also make the point that you did this inside of a nondescript medical office. This is something very different than many women in your state would probably experience. Is this a way of sort of airing a little bit about the privilege of having medical coverage and being able to have that procedure privately?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it the weight of how much privilege I was operating under was just immense. It just occurred to me how much harder this would be, how much more difficult this would be if I wasn't given this kind of special status. And what's worse is that the kind of laws that are being passed to combat elective abortions are things that would affect my choices with a miscarriage abortion, too. You know, when you're talking about trying to keep medical schools from training doctors how to do these procedures, that affects women like me. When you're talking about fetal personhood bills, that affects women who have miscarriages. If there was a fetal personhood bill in my state that had passed, I would be in the middle of a murder inquest right now because I would have to prove that the miscarriage that I had was not caused by me intentionally. And I don't think anyone should ever have to go through that.
One of the things that you did discover, and I'm sorry we're about to run out of time, is that it is very difficult to find good sources written for people in that situation, literature that can help people wade through this mire of a painful experience. Can you tell us anything about what you found?
I found two extremely good books that I would recommend. The first is called Coming to Term. It's by John Cullen, and it's written more of like a narrative journalism style. So it may not be particularly helpful if what you want is direct medical advice, but it's extremely useful in finding out about the science of miscarriage and what we do and don't know. The second book is more from a medical advice perspective, and it is called Avoiding Miscarriage, Everything You Need to Know to Feel More Confident in Pregnancy. And it's by Susan Rosalot. And I think she does a very good job of just explaining how murky the science is on this. I know one of my doctors told me that when you get into things like miscarriage, you stop talking about medicine to a certain extent and start talking about voodoo because there's just so little that we actually know about what's going on.
Well, I think we can add your blog to the literature growing on this subject. So many responses from people sharing their own experiences, and you've responded to all of them. We really do appreciate you talking about it with us today. Thanks so much for joining us, Maggie.
Thank you for having me.
Maggie Kurth-Baker, she's a science writer and blogger for Boing Bling. Now, you can read her posts about her decision to have a DNC, so-called good abortion, if that can be said, and the scores of responses to it, you can go to wordofmouthradio.org.